Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome to Accepted As I Am on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the fourth Thursday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Accepted As I Am is hosted by Barbara White. Barbara is a best-selling author, workshop leader, and the founder of the Accepted As I Am process. She owns a healing center in the Detroit metro area, and she is affectionately called a midwife for your soul. Guided by spirit, Barbara effortlessly brings you into the presence of God's love and ignites within you the knowing of your own self-inherent worth. To connect with Barbara, you can visit her site at www.acceptedasiam.com. And to connect with her right now, you can call into the show at 1-646-378-0378. And now for your host, Barbara White.
Okay, I think that's my cue. Hi, this is Barbara with the Accepted As I Am Blog Talk Radio Show here in Michigan, beautifully planted between Ann Arbor and Detroit. And the sun is shining and the birds are singing and the spring is springing. Yay! How are you? How is your heart and body feeling today? Have you set your eyes on a spiritual vision of who you truly are? You know, every day the mind has to be set into what is real and what is true. It's not like you can just do it on Sundays and then let it go the rest of the week. And that non-negotiable to just like non-negotiables in the sense of you go and you brush your teeth or you go and you put on a clean pair of underwear every day. Really setting your mind to the vibration, the wellness, the frequency that life is for you, that life is happening for your greatest good, and letting go of all those lies that the mind creates. And a lot of those thoughts that the mind has aren't even yours. Stuff that your mind picks up while you're driving down the freeway, stuff your mind picks up when you're thinking, not noticing some negative thoughts that are happening. Setting your mind every day to love and the beauty and the truth that wants to express through, as, and in you. And that may be why you're listening to the show today, right? So I know when I need my brain reset, I listen to my beloved Michael Beckwith, or I love Pima Chodron, or really those are the two that are my favorite. It's my spiritual mother and my spiritual father. So welcome, and thank you for giving this gift to yourself and really allowing yourself to learn more spiritual tools and be ignited into the next fullness, the next realization of who you are. And remember that we always start, big part of my work is that we always start from a place of you're already complete, you're already whole. And so just together, let's welcome that awareness that you're already whole and you're already complete. That just as you can take one cell of your body, make a complete you, or you can take one part of nature and understand the fullness of nature, that you are a complete expression of love, of beauty, of God, and that God is everywhere in its fullness but not in one place. And you who are listening, and you who will be listening for years from now, you are a complete expression of God. Think if you really welcome that awareness right now. And when I say welcome that awareness, what do I mean? It's mean together we hold that intent, like dropping the pebble into the pond, and then we let go and breathe a bit. We don't try to make it happen with our mind. We don't try to manipulate our thoughts to believe this. We welcome that awareness. We drop the pebble, and then we breathe. So let's do that, yes? So welcome the awareness that you are created in God's image, that you are a complete expression of the Most High, of love, of beauty. And let's set that intent. Good, and now breathe. I know thoughts and feelings that contradict that are going to come up, but don't disown your thoughts even for a second. Just breathe. You have the power to disown your thoughts for a moment. Not deny them, not push them down. Breathe some more. Welcome that awareness. Good. Good. Now, if I leave it longer here, eventually the mind's gonna really try to contradict this awareness. But once you welcome it, you kind of get the energy open, you get it stirred up, it will influence your thoughts today. It will influence the rest of this listening. Again, it's not something you try to create in your mind. It's not something that you try to say the magic words to make happen. In fact, that's just going to create more of the old muck, right? It was the current mind that created the chaos. So you want to use the other mind, the mind that's beyond your mind, right? The mind that is the one mind of all creation, the one mind of your friends, your trees, your animals. And that mind isn't necessarily, it's within you, that mind beyond your mind. But it's also within all living energies or all living beings. And with all our microscopes and all our abilities to break things into tiny little pieces, the reductionist model of science that, of course, began and started in the 17th century, but even before that, with all our ability to break things out into little tiny parts and to look at the brain, we still don't know really where a thought originates. Because a thought really doesn't originate in the brain. Thought originates in your energy. So you are like, think of your body like, I've used this analogy before, but it's the way people's energy field looks. It's like a little tiny pea, not a big fat one. And you know one of those big bowls you use for popcorn? Those big bowls that could hold like a gallon of water. Now fill that big bowl with the most yummiest pudding you could ever think of. And then drop this little pea in the middle. That's the best way I can explain your energy field. I love the way Deepak explained it, the desires to fulfillment. That book, I think, was, oh gosh, years ago, 2001. But he talked about how in the model of the cell, how there is the, of course, the nucleus with the protons and the neutrons, and then the electrons, the space that orbit around the protons and the neutrons. So you have the center of the nucleus that's made of the protons and neutrons, and then you have the electron that orbits around it. Well, that electron, the space between the nucleus and the electrons, he says that you think of that space that's there kind of like a football in the middle of a football field and the electrons on the outside of that football field. Not the field itself, but the actual arena. Sorry, not the field, the arena. And he says that you're mostly space. So there's this space that exists in our cells that is us. And that the idea that we think we're matter, right? We think we are that pea in that big popcorn bowl. Or we think we are that little tiny expression that we have within our day. But remember, your expressions are not a validation of who you are. You are whole. You are beautiful. You are lovable. And your expressions are more of an expression of who you are, not a validation of who you are. That's what I'm trying to say. But if you start your day or even your life looking for who you are, you know, looking for who you are in a relationship, ooh, that's not a good idea, right? got too many people I mentor around that one, right? If you look for who you are in relationship, you end up losing yourself in relationship, which I think everybody has to do at least once. You got to marry one of your parents, figuratively, of course. Be able to work through the patterns. We're here to have the human experience. And although we are spiritual, magnificent beings having this human experience, we do need the human experience. I don't want to ever talk from a transcendent, separatist model from our body, our human psychology. And one of my missions is really to talk from a place of merging the psychology and the spirituality, as well as some of the science sometimes. So to be able to begin from a place of not looking for yourself, right, in your day, in your work, to begin from a place of knowing you already found it. People have, many of you, well, maybe you haven't, so if you had this first time listening, I've been doing this work professionally for about 15 years and non-professionally for about 25. Sometime in my teenage years, I really, really started dedicating my life to, I mean, I remember doing Qigong and energy work as early as 11 and 12. But at some time in my teenage years, I really started taking it seriously. And then I didn't start doing it. I went to school for it, got all sorts of degrees and certifications, trained with some really great people, and then had my life transition and experience where my hero and my mentor, so someone that was really on a pedestal for me, that was guiding me, told me I was going to hell. So it's quite a heartbreaking opening experience, dark night of the soul experience, to be told by your hero and mentor when you're 21 that you're going to hell because you're bisexual. So I'm really grateful for that experience, because today what it did is it really shifted me into knowing my heart, my being, who I am is real, that is real, that self that I breathe, that when you look within and you have that connection to your body and to your breath, that self is real, not the self you find in relationship, not the self that you find in your job, not the self that you find, that those things are, they're not a validation. You're not going to find yourself there. But after 15 years of doing this, and sometimes I like to think how many hours I've been doing this, and I think currently it's about 29,000 hours. But I mean, that's if we look at anything, like, you know, if we've been doing something 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours a week, and then we times that times 15, you know, it's, we've all been doing, if you time in that amount of hours you've been sleeping, that's a crazy number as well. Those kind of things make me giggle, as you can tell. Big fondness for cheesy humor. So anyways, the 15 years of doing this, and I have had people, that the number one question that people come to sessions to be mentored by me is, what is my purpose? And I'm ready to find my purpose. I'm ready to find my purpose. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever think that? What is my purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? Do you really? Do you really know what your purpose is? If you do, great. And then I think there's a time, too, when you really know your purpose, but then you also leave it open-ended in that life's always showing you daily what your mandate, what wants to emerge through your soul. So just like our connection to ourself, it's also changing. It's also shifting. It's meaning it's expanding. There's an expansion always happening. Just like nature's always growing, we are always growing. So what is my purpose? This is a question that I get asked a lot. It's the way people begin their sessions, or begin work with me. And then the answer that I give back to them is not really what they expect. You know, they think that if they do enough work, study enough material, and almost like fill their brains with more information, right? If I just study more, get this next degree, do this to know what my purpose is. But what I say to them, and when I say this to you, is there's a whole process to this. So I don't want to oversimplify this, yet also simplify it at the same time. Meaning, you know, spiritual truths are very simple, but they're multidimensional. And just like we have to return back to those spiritual truths a thousand times, and on the 1,000th time, we know it again for the first time, right? That's what a realization is when you're like, oh my gosh, everything is one. It's not that you didn't know that before, it's the next realization of it. All right, so I've been keeping you waiting. What is my purpose when people ask that? And I'll say to them, now don't let your mind go, ah, I already knew that. Hear this for the first time. You may have an opening here. But your purpose, when I reply to them, I say your purpose is already what? Already within you. That God's given you your purpose. That you've been born with your purpose. And you need to clear off the muck, the fear, doubt, worry, anger, limiting beliefs, sometimes genetic memories, sometimes karmic type energy in the body, in the mind, the spirit, the energy. And as you clear out that stuff, you'll realize your purpose. It will just come to you. It will emerge in your life. You know, and some people are kind of disappointed from that answer, right? You know, tell me what book to read. Tell me what to study. I want to know what to do. I want more information. But holy, I swear, you know, we have more information. We don't need more information, right? We need to make space. We need to tap into that space in ourselves. Tap into that space, that big popcorn yogurt, that big popcorn bowl of energy that we are. It actually goes out 50 feet in all directions. We've got to create space. We've got to clear out the muck. But this muck, I don't want to make wrong. And as I call it in my books and the self-acceptance process, why self-acceptance is so powerful, I call it mud. And I like using the word mud because just like mud, it creates flowers. It's good. It's not bad. If we didn't have mud, we wouldn't eat. Kind of like no matter how rich you are or how... what your status is or what your race is or your sexual orientation, we all need mud. We all need dirt. Without dirt, we don't eat. Without dirt, we don't have clothes on our backs. Even synthetics come from something that's natural. So... your purpose is something that's already within you, but it has to be uncovered. And that mud is actually the bridge, right? As I talk in my smaller book, Self-Acceptance Process, I say the bridge is the block. Or the block is the bridge, vice versa. See what I mean, Jelly Bean? So a lot of times when I'm talking, the vibration of what God expresses through as and in me will stir up stuff, will clear stuff out. So you heard in Penny's introduction, you heard things like igniting the soul and igniting who you are. And because a lot of my vibration and my words do that. People have spontaneous shifts. And it's not anything that I can force on anyone. It's, you have to be receptive and willing. But I can be that tool for people. And it, just like anything, a book, a song, a chant, meditation, it's a tool, right? It's a tool to open to what you already are. And just like I'm not making you, I can't give you anything you don't already have. I can't take anything from you. In fact, if you think someone has something you don't have, you give your power away, right? And as always, I want you to use everything I say as a way of finding your truth, not replacing your truth. Now, that we could spend hours on, right? That's also another big thing I talk about in mentoring sessions is all the times that we've used teachings or truths or what parents or authority has said as replacing our truth rather than finding our truth. And your truth is your truth, right? It's not, there's what, 9 billion people on the planet, so there's 9 billion truths and they're all right. So uncovering that truth, uncovering that purpose, just listening to these words, listening to this vibration, allowing it to shift things around, clear things out, bring into your awareness of mud that's there, and hopefully bring it as you witness and embrace and move towards the mud, fear, doubt, worry, anger, sadness, limiting beliefs, stories about yourself. As you move towards them and through them, that alchemy of self-acceptance you open to that which you already are. Yes. So just check in for a moment. I've said a lot. I've already transmitted many vibrations of opening and igniting. Check in to see how your body's feeling. Notice the sensations of your body. Your sensations will really be a guiding. If you can notice sensations without putting labels on them, you immediately connect that little pea in the big yogurt bowl. So notice the sensations. Sensations are hot, cold, watery, fiery, expansive, tension, relaxed, heavy, light. So notice those sensations through your feet and your legs and the lower half of your body. Good. Now notice those sensations in the upper half of your body, the head, the arms, the chest, the upper back. And notice how the sensations are just slightly different between the upper and the lower. And knowing in your simple awareness of things, without trying to fix or change, in your awareness, you're watching, you're compassionate observing of things, noticing now how it begins to commingle. Those sensations, watch and breathe. Good. And then just taking another breath, and if you can, make a sound in the out-breath. Something like, ah. Good. Now, if you're listening and you happen to be listening live and you have a question, something that is on your mind about spirit, about love, about yourself, or how to let go of something, how to open up to something, or something that I've talked about, right? You're still like, I don't get it. Because that, so if you have a question, do call, and we can chat. Because sometimes your question is going to be everybody else's question, right? And if there's nobody to chat and talk to, I'll tap into you in other ways and answer your question. I can hear your question in other ways, but I'd love to talk to you on the phone. So I'm going to say about getting it, you know, that's something that is really important, being got in a way. That's something that people don't allow. It can I had a session with someone the other day that had so much fear of expressing in this particular way. She's going to do this training that she's being evaluated. And she had so much fear. I mean, what they say, public speaking is like right there around fear of death. But it also had the fear of being told she was wrong, the fear, just a lot of fear of really stepping into her expression, her gift on the planet. And I love what Maladoma Somei says, you know, being gifted means you have something to give. And that, I love what Richard Rohr says, which is, you are good because God is good. Put those two statements together. Feel the energy of them. You are good because God is good. Nothing you can do or accomplish or make happen to find your goodness. And being gifted means you have something to give. Takes all the hoopla out of accepting that you're gifted, huh? Because you are gifted, and so am I. All right. So this person, she was wanting to express her gift, and it was clearly something that was really important to her. And as we were working together and looking at what need psychologically was coming up and how to validate that need and really hold a space of nurturing and mama energy there, I also saw that the very thing that she was afraid of is the very thing she needed the most. That validation, that being seen, that being gotten. You know, it's so many people, I mean, it's, what is it, 85, 90% of people are in jobs that they hate, which is kind of a tragedy. It's part of the illness of our society. Maladoma Somme and his South African culture, which they, if someone's not expressing their gift, it's considered an illness it's considered an illness because it affects society. So that's why we need you. That's why society, that's why our culture needs everyone really to courageously express their gifts. To do that thing that brings you joy. To uncover, to begin that process of uncovering what's already within you. And to fear the thing that we want the most, to be seen, to be gotten. Which is part of the human psychological need. And of course, nature can see us. The sunshine can see us. But there's nothing wrong with needing a person to get you. It's part of, you know, why we need mentors or teachers, ones that really can hold a sacred space for us, that don't take our power or try to replace our truth with theirs. It's why teachers and mentors are sacred and holy, because we really, just think if you had a mentor that really held a sacred space for you when you were going through puberty and explained to you that sexual energy was sacred and holy and explained to you that your body should be held with reverence and listen to all your fears and listen to all your worries and insecurities, but not in a way that tried to fix them. Could really hear you with their heart. Can you imagine if we had that? If you did, wow, you're really lucky. But most of the time, people's initiation through puberty is, something in a locker, some occurrence in a locker room or some makeout session at a party, and it's not very safe container for relationship and intimacy and sexuality. So we need someone to get us, to see us. I know I did. And I've had different mentors that have been really amazing in my life. I had Dr. Shear, who was 1997. He started the first holistic hospital in the United States down in Columbus, Ohio. And sometimes being really seen for the holiness, the fullness of who you are, the love that you are can be. It's like, whoa, I'm used to walking around hiding all the time. I'm used to, I don't know, have you had that experience? I know people, I've experienced on both ends. Like when I first met Michael Beckwith back in 2008, I met Beckwith and Dr. Aaron Nartney at the same time and Ricky Byers Beckwith. I don't know if I've told this story, but it's I was looking for it. They were doing the One Peace movement, and Spirit had me get lost. Even though I went to Eastern for my undergraduate degrees, I went to the wrong arena. And as I get to the new arena, I was like, "Oh, I knew this. This is weird." I step on the sidewalk, and within minutes, Michael Beckwith, Dr. Aaron Notney, he's shifted some. Villages of India, the caste system that's there. He's done some miraculous things with creating peace. Incredible social activist. And Ricky Beckwith is a musician and just matriarch and leading thousands of people. And Michael Beckwith, Agape International. So I stepped, I mean, literally it was a second, not minutes, seconds. I stepped on the sidewalk, they showed up. And to be seen by those three people at the same time, they completely saw me. It was life changing. Completely life changing. Game changer. I remember my whole body shook for about 30 minutes afterwards. It was like, hey, I'm used to being at this vibrational set point, and now I'm being seen on a level I've never been seen. 10 years prior to that, I remember Dr. Shearer was just able to see my innocence. He was able to see me as a child of God. And I don't think I'd ever been seen that way. Is anyone that saw you in your life that really saw you for who you are? Now, of course, what the danger that can happen with that is that we think then we need that person to uncover that. It's, you know, again, no one can give you anything. They can remind you of what you already are. They can trigger you and point out some dark spots within you. That's not the fun part of it, right? No one can make you feel sad. No one can make you feel fearful. They bring to your awareness what's already within you. But the more yummy side of that is also true, that what you're, when you look at a spiritual teacher or a deity or Christ, or when you look at that and you realize, you say, oh, wow, they're amazing. Don't project your own divinity on them. That's you. That's you. That is them, of course. I'm not discounting their how awesome they are, yes, but that's you. When you look at the Grand Canyon and you feel that spaciousness and like, ah, can you? That's you within you, right? Yes, the Grand Canyon is its own energy, its own consciousness that it brings. But that's also you. And beginning to look at life that way, anyone that's gotten you or anyone that you admire, and you begin to see, okay, everything I'm seeing in them, can I even just a little bit take ownership over that? So think of somebody that's gotten you, that you admire, or somebody that you admire in your life. Do you have someone? First person you thought of, it's usually one to go with. And what qualities do you see that they have? So this person that you admire, what qualities do you see that they have? And say them out loud, or list them, you know, list them on your fingers, or write them down. Good. So, first person that came for me was Oprah. I know, you're laughing at me, but Oprah. Because I just see her as so dynamic and compassionate and driven and authentic and intelligent and wise. So did you make a list like that when you thought of your person? Just kind of saying what came to you without trying to think too hard. Good. And so now that you've said those qualities, let's welcome together, be in the willingness. Let's start with willingness. Be in the willingness to see that within you. So just be willing to see that within you. We're breathing together, knowing that angels support you, the earth supports you, and you are those angels and earth. But letting the earth support you, letting the angels support you, and be willing to see those qualities within you. Stay in your breath, stay in your body. And even repeat those qualities like a whisper under your breath or to yourself. Good. And as you've repeated like a whisper, now just let go. I've dropped the pebble. The intention is shaped. let go for a moment and breathe. Let go to who and what you already are. And then notice how that, notice the sensations in your body. Notice how that feels. What is the sensations right now in the body? Don't try to think, right? What do those qualities feel like in your body? And maybe you can put words on it, maybe you can't. Now just notice again, just watch. Take a little time here. This is your time. Good. Now take a deep, deep breath. And it's like you're digesting these qualities into your body. But just like digestion, though, you don't have to make it happen, right? You're not going to sit in there and telling your stomach to produce hydrochloric acid. So allow yourself to take a deep breath. And let's just sink that in by making a sound on the out-breath. Good. Now that you've got a new set point or a new vibration here, ask yourself what thought, and don't dive into it, but just let it come up. Ask yourself what thought has to be let go of, or what belief about yourself has, because beliefs are just thoughts that have congealed. Beliefs are just thoughts that you've thought a whole bunch. So what belief do you need to let go of to be in alignment with those qualities? Do you have it? So I'm doing this process with you and getting an attunement of opening those qualities that are like Oprah. And I heard the belief, I have to let go of a belief that I need to be perfect. Don't be afraid of your beliefs. It's okay. It doesn't mean it's who you are. Just like this doesn't mean that I'm doing this in all areas of my life. There's just probably some thought or some behavior that I'm doing where I think I need to be perfect. No big deal. Too often people aren't willing to admit their limiting beliefs because it's almost like they've forgotten that they have conscious choice, right? That those beliefs are not who they are. You're not your beliefs. God, isn't that a good thing? Think about all the beliefs that we've come up around the body, your sexuality, yourself as a woman, yourself as a man. Come on. You're the presence and the essence of the cosmos. You're the way the stars look back at themselves. Wouldn't you rather be that than your beliefs? Okay, so just wanted to soften that a bit. And always remain curious, not overly serious here. But when I ask people to start bringing up beliefs, I know that's a big deal for a lot of folks. I do whole processes around belief releasing in a way that's grounded in the psychology and the spirituality of it, the energy of it. But right now, since I just have you here on the Blog Talk Radio, just thank and bless that belief. It thinks it's doing something for you, right? It thinks it's keeping you safe in some ways, which is why we create limiting beliefs. We create them as a way of trying to keep ourselves safe, but of course the paradox always is they're doing the opposite of what they promise, right? If I'm trying to be perfect, then I feel not so perfect. Or if you believe that, let's say the belief is I'm not worthy, it's not really keeping you safe, but it keeps, there's some part of your brain that thinking you're not worthy keeps you safe, because then you won't have to express and you won't have to take those actions and you won't have to do this stuff. So it keeps you kind of in a complacent laziness, right? When you think you're worthy, it's easy. And when you think you're not worthy, it's easy to be complacent. It's easy to not take steps because, hey, I'm not worthy, right? So it thinks it's helping you with that. So just thank it and bless it. then can bless the belief you're not worthy or the belief to be perfect or whatever it is. Or maybe it was a resentment that came up of yourself or another person. Just think and bless it. And breathe. And breathe. Come on. Let that breath help you. Remember, you are love and you are loved. You got this. Analyze the belief. You don't have to dissect it. In fact, that you can sit there and talk about it forever and dissect it and know what family member it links back to and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Which sometimes there's a purpose for that. But right now, just let go. You don't use the restroom and then go dig through it. You just flush the toilet, right? Just flush the toilet. Take a deep breath. You got it. Make a sound on the out-breath. There you go. Good. Good job. All right, so the last thing. What can you do in the next 3 days to help remind you those qualities are within you? It can be a little tap on your chest and say, I have all those qualities already within me. It could be, maybe what can you do is like, maybe it's a real action that needs to happen. I can go for a walk. I can make that phone call. I can give myself a nice hot bath. And then the next day I treat myself to a really, make myself a great meal. So what action can you do? Either symbolic, like an affirmation or in the mirror, or something like an action. What comes up to remind you you have those qualities? Something nurturing? Maybe you need to take care of something? That is. Do you have it? So for me, I heard actually tapping on my chest and saying, you got this, you got this. And I actually don't know for exactly what it is that I'm going to need that for, but I trust that, you know, life is really lined up to show you, show me my magnificence. I write about this in the next article, Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, that life is for you. And how, why do we forget that life is not for us, right? And I go through some really key principles of why we forget that and some reminders of how to, some principles, there we go, some principles of how to remember that, that life is for you, that life is happening for your greatest good, that the only thing that can be against you is your perceptions and your beliefs. All right, so we did a process today of remembering those qualities are already within you. We did a clearing and an opening around the next expression, the next opening of your purpose. And we did some chatting. You know, we chatted together, didn't we? I have a couple things coming up. In April, I have a self-love intensive at Taylor Yoga. And all of this is on my website at acceptedasiam.com. And I'm going to do a free talk, and I'll give you the dates in a second. I'm heading back up to my office. So I'm going to do a free talk, and then I'm also going to do a day workshop, self-love intensive. And then every third Thursday, we have a self-acceptance mini workshop, and that is from 6:30 to 9. And then in May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, is the retreat. Your soul's gifts are waiting to be expressed. Very excited about this because it is very much in dovetails in today's show that when you open up to the evolutionary call within you, you become more you. You begin to live as a leader of the new paradigm of peace. And there'll be self-acceptance processes, nature, connections, how to connect into nature, spirits, as well as really grounded psychological work through, like I said, the self-acceptance processes, medicine walks, fire ceremony. We're going to be working with the Four Shields integration. And again, that's a really grounded yet spiritual process of using the south, west, north, and east, and really seeing how we're always cycling through that psychologically and spiritually, that we, when we notice the cycles that we're in, we can have even a greater awareness, right, that life is for us. So your soul's gifts are waiting to be expressed, really stepping into the next expression of yourself, your essence, your purpose, opening up to that. That's May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and it's at the Howell Nature Center. And if you sign up before, April 15th, it's $295 for the workshop, the food, the Qigong by the lake. We're also going to do zip lining, all the workshops, everything is $295. And if you sign up after April 15th, it's $345. So you save yourself some money there. The self-love intensive, let me give you the dates on that. April 9th is a free talk, 6 to 8. And then the self-love intensive day is April 18th, and that is from 1 to 7. And that is $85. And then the date for the self-acceptance mini workshop where I do Qigong, self-acceptance processes, we feed you some raw organic food, live food, feeling, get you feeling all yummy inside. That's from 6:30 to 9. And again, you can go on my Accepted As I Am website. I am also still have a little bit of space to take on new mentees. Not a whole bunch, but a little. And that process is if you feel that calling to work with me. And then we have an initial consult, 2 hours. And I give you like the outline of what I see is happening and what is the soul journey you're on, as well as the soul learnings. We do a little bit of clearing work, actually a lot. And then that gives me a feel and you a feel of whether to move forward in the mentoring process. And then I usually meet with people every about 4 to 5 weeks, unless they're going through something really, they're kind of in the middle of that birth canal, that growth experience, and I need to see them sooner, because that's sometimes really important to see people every couple weeks. But normally somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks is the cadence of the mentoring. And then I've had people that have worked on and off with me for, gosh, now 10, 13 years, 15 years. And they come in like every 3-4 months or every, I don't know, about every 3 months. They come in and get what they call a tune-up. I love life. All right. So I wish you great love. And if you have any questions about the retreat, the self-love intensive, the mini workshop, also you can go on my website. And now I'm going to ask you something. So I just gave you a lot of gifts, a lot of vibration, a lot of energy. Please pass on this information to someone that you can, that person you think of right now that needs that extra support or needs that help. You know, and sometimes that someone is, you don't even see that they're struggling, or someone that is, maybe you thought of them, you're like, oh, they don't need that help. They've got it going on in life. Why would they need to hear this? Why would they need to hear this blog talk radio show, right? So maybe it's that person. But no matter who we are, we need to be reminded of who we are. The life, really, the general public life tells you have to do something to be worthy. You have to accomplish something to be loved, and that is incredibly toxic and incredibly opposite of what our essence and our true self really is. And to go within first, that's what we started with, right? So just bringing everything home here. To go within and know that your purpose is within you already, that you can't find yourself in these things. To give up that chasing the carrot kind of way of living. Sometimes the people that have, you know, accomplished the most outwardly are the ones that are most empty. Never forget that. You know, it's when they've looked at happiness levels and gone to cultures that are poor, so we go, oh, poor people, they're actually the most happiest, because they know what's real and true. The family, the connections, spirit, stillness, they haven't forgotten that. where we have so many distractions that we've forgotten that. So please pass on this information to someone that came to mind, and you can also call me at 734-455-1438. All right, wishing you great love. Hope to hear from you. Take care. Bye-bye.